Hello, and welcome to the Hospice News Elevate podcast. My name is Jim Parker. I'm senior editor of Hospice News and Palliative Care News. And with me this episode is Mark Kulik, senior managing director at the Brath Group. And we're going to be talking about consolidation in the nonprofit hospice sector. So, Mark, thanks again for being here. Really appreciate it. Let me start by asking, what is the overall M&A market looking like during the first half of 2025 for all providers?
Yeah, I think most would join me in saying it's been disappointing. Specifically, if you reflect back at where we were Q4 last year, a lot of optimism, a lot of folks thinking that this would be kind of a breakthrough year for M&A. But where we stand through May 31st, today's the 30th of June, so through the first 5 months of this year, if you annualize that, Jim, we're projecting out below 100 transactions. So that's a surprise. More so, just 9 announced home health deals through May, just 6 hospice deals through May 31st. However, on the opposite side, if you look at the non-medical, there's 16 deals were completed through May, projecting out at 33, and 15 deals on the private duty, private pay side, again, non-medical, projecting out to 31. So where things stand today, very surprised, but of the 100 or so deals I mentioned, we're projecting 64 or so would be on the non-medical side, be it Medicaid or be it private duty. So a very surprising, slow, anemic start to transactions overall for M&A this year for post-acute.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I know a number of stakeholders, including, I confess, Hospice News, kind of predicted an M&A rebound in 2025, at least maybe not to the levels of 2020 or 2021, but definitely we expected a pickup.
Yeah, and us as well, and everyone I spoke with, everyone I know, all felt the same way, including the lawyers, including the accountants, including the consultants, all felt and kind of gearing up for a surge here in 2025. It's yet to happen.
And what would you say the outlook is looking like for the rest of the year?
So again, coming from a guy that thought this would be the heyday right now, but I think, again, speaking for most, we feel optimistic. Why do we feel that way? The Fed finally has come through and said there'll be one rate cut, if not two, before the end of the year. And of course, as the Fed cuts their Fed rate, that ultimately has an impact on reducing the cost of capital when you're going out to buy an agency. As of this morning, it appears that we've reached some level of tariff deals with China and Canada, at least verbally in principle. And that'll be two huge cornerstones of getting the president's tariff policy resolved around the world. Those are two big ones. There's been a ceasefire in the Iran-Israeli war. Stock markets hit record highs today, just closed record highs, and optimism is strong on Wall Street. Combined on the other side, on the buy side, there's still $1 trillion of dry powder with PE that they haven't spent. And they've been given this money to spend. That's across all industries, not just healthcare. That's manufacturing and fintech and leisure and all that. But still, a lot of money to be spent here in America. With that goes the responsibility to deploy it. So you combine all those factors, and I think people are saying, hey, this should be a fertile ground to have a lot more activity happening between now and year end. So I think we remain optimistic that it's been delayed, but it's not been terminated in terms of activity for this year.
Excellent. And what are some of the key factors influencing the market right now?
So as it stands today, we're on the precipice here of getting hospice and home health rates announced and or finalized. So that always has an impact because that tells the marketplace what they can expect relative to rate increases, because we know there's going to be cost increases for next year. So that's one component. Secondly, we're sitting here waiting for this big, beautiful bill to be finalized. I think it's almost through the Senate. They have to vote on that. Then there comes the reconciliation with the House. But that's an influencing factor because buyers want to have certainty. They want to know where things stand before they place their bets. So that's a big piece of it. Certainly a ceasefire, if it ever happens in Gaza and the Ukraine, would be very, very helpful. And I think another signal to the marketplace from the government would be final approval of the Amedisys and United deal. That's been pending, as you know, for a couple of years. If that gets approved and gets the green light, I think that'll allow people to exhale and be more confident in going after bigger deals, as opposed to feeling like the government's going to look over your shoulder and maybe put a pause or put some sort of a halt on getting a deal done. So those are the things in the macro, if you will. I think in the micro, buyers are still heads down working on integration and optimization of the acquisitions that they made. I think on the home health or the hospice side, rather, over the last 5 years, there was like 239 hospice acquisitions in 5 years. That's a lot of work to pull together, integrate. It takes time. It takes resources, as you know, EMR standardization, policy procedures. So there's still a lot of work being done in that area, and I think that's in the micro. On the sell side, I think that some sellers are still hanging on to valuations from the COVID days, which were nice when they were here, but I don't think that that we're going to see those valuations anytime soon. So for some sellers, there's a gap, a valuation gap between what is and what they expect.
That makes a lot of sense. I wanted to ask about nonprofits, and are you seeing consolidation kind of ramp up among nonprofit organizations?
You know, that to me is one of the most underreported stories, in my opinion, of late. It's been significant, and no one's really making mention of it. But again, we like numbers. I like numbers, as you know. So I'll give you some numbers. So this is from 22. So this is post-COVID. It's not tied to COVID specifically. But 22, 23, 24, and 25, those 4 years, those four snapshots. In 22, there were 20 non-for-profit transactions. 23, there was 19. 24, there was 21. And so far this year in 25, there was 3. So 20, 19, 21, and 3. And that's significant when you look at the total number of hospice and home health transactions. So if you take a look at those 20 transactions, for example, in 2022, there was 114 home health and hospice transactions. That's 18% of all transactions in 2022 were by a non-for-profit seller. That number went to 25% in 2023, 24% in 2024, and so far here in the first half of 2025, it's 16%. So, you know, you're looking at somewhere approximately one out of every four transactions has involved a not-for-profit seller over the past handful of years. That never was the case. If you can go back 25 years, that never was the case. So it has manifested quite dramatically. It's quite significant as well.
Yeah, that's really interesting. What types of transactions are nonprofits pursuing? Are they affiliating with one another? Are they selling to for-profit companies? Are there other types of transactions that are happening?
Yeah. So let's peel the onion there. So for those same 4 years, 22, 23, 24, 25, if you look at a non-for-profit seller being sold, if you will, or merged to a not-for-profit buyer, in 2022, 45% of the 20 or 9 went to a non-for-profit buyer. In 2023, 58% or 11 of the deals in 23 went to a non-for-profit buyer. In 2024, 57% or 12 of the deals in 2024 went to a non-for-profit buyer. And so far in 2025, one of the three deals went to non-for-profit, so about 33%. So, you know, it's just right above that half and half. Half are going to non-for-profit. Half are going to a for-profit, which again is a surprise story, because you would think, well, they would all merge together. They'd all be one big not-for-profit transactions. But you have about half the marketplace, half the not-for-profit saying we're choosing a for-profit buyer. And as a result, there's significant financial proceeds that come when you have a for-profit buyer. Typically, the not-for-profits don't involve any cash going back and forth, but the for-profit transactions do. So half the market is choosing to exit and sell to a for-profit buyer.
That's fascinating. And why do you think these trends are occurring right now?
Yeah, so keep in mind that all of the CMS regulations, the rates, the labor rates, the recruiting, the retention, the competitive environment applies to the non-for-profit world as it does to the for-profit world. It's not a separate set of rules. It's mm-hmm. one set of rules that covers the whole marketplace. So you've seen lately, we've seen that there's been rate cuts or minuscule increases being given, especially in the home health side and hospice, while inflation and operating expenses are rising. So you've got a very difficult time of managing the gross margin because you've got low increases with high rates of inflation and pay expectations. And on top of that, if you're non-for-profit, typically you're mission-driven. You're providing elevated non-funded care to people that can't afford it, whether on the home health side or the hospice side. So they incur a unfunded expense that a lot of the for-profits don't at that higher level. And for the most part, over all these years, that has been funded by philanthropic support. There's been annual galas, there's been golf tournaments that typically have covered the shortfall for those non-for-profit agencies. But it's far, far more difficult now because the gaps are getting bigger. And then on top of that, just look at our normal lives. You've got the request for donations and the number of organizations that make those requests has ramped up in the past 10 years. I just look at my daily mail. I get something in the mail every day from someone saying, please donate. I donated in the past, and I get something every day, please donate, Mark. Or nightly on TV, there's ads popping up, please donate or donate your car. At the grocery store, do you want to round up your bill and donate the change to whatever? So I just think there's more competition for those philanthropic dollars on top of a more difficult operating environment to operate in. And it's the same rules. There's no breaks being given to the non-for-profits. So all those things combined, I think, make it a much more challenging marketplace to be operating as a non-for-profit today.
That makes a lot of sense. And finally, I want to ask what you expect in the long term. Do you anticipate this trend to continue among nonprofits?
I really do. I think it's going to intensify, Jim. The continued elevated or enhanced regulatory oversight exists, and I don't think that's going to go away. The associated expense with meeting those regulatory oversight requirements. For example, you've got the Review Choice Demonstration Project that's going on in 9 states. That has added significant expense to those home health agencies. I think it's going to expand across the whole country. I think it's going to expand into hospice as well. As the government continues with this waste, fraud, and abuse theme they're chasing after, I wouldn't be surprised if they accelerate the incorporation of that requirement into both sectors across the country. But even on top of that, you've got the continued growth of Medicare Advantage. 7 out of every 10 new beneficiaries, according to Kaiser, are choosing Medicare Advantage as their coverage. Well, Medicare Advantage, as we know, squeezes all providers, not just home care, but physicians and hospitals, et cetera. I don't think that's going to diminish. I think we're going to see right now it's about 51, 52% penetration. Everything I'm reading is saying Medicare Advantage is going to penetrate 70 to 75% of all beneficiaries. So that's going to continue to squeeze the marketplace there. If you look specifically at hospice, right now we're looking at the HOPE tool becoming implemented this fall, unless it gets put on pause or delayed. But I think that's certainly for quality purposes. But everything I've been reading says it's a foundation that could be used for revenue reimbursement changes as well, as a tool that they can use to change reimbursement of hospice. That's going to make it more difficult. You've got the threatening carve-in, back to the carve-in at some point in time of hospice into Medicare Advantage. And I think this not-for-profit transaction we just talked about continues to make the statement that you got to keep on scaling. You have to keep on getting bigger because it's difficult to stay small and be good at all these things. The regulatory enhancements, the constant oversight of compliance, doing more with less, being reimbursed less, It's just so hard to do it all, stay on top of technology changes, incorporate AI if you're small. So you've got to keep on growing, and that feeds into the consolidation theme that we've been discussing. And then if you look at just the risk of staying in business, I think you have to take into account a level of sophistication, if you will, and financial stability. Certainly, as we draw closer and closer to risk-based models, reimbursement models, you've got to get bigger to be able to go ahead and take on risk. You can't do that as a small agency. So I think all those reasons combined, there's others, but those are the ones that come to mind that really will continue to encourage, and I think we're going to see a continued sustained levels of consolidation among non-for-profit agencies.
That makes a lot of sense considering the factors that you mentioned. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out, whether there's a steep decline in the number of nonprofits as they sell to for-profits, or if more of them just kind of band together with one another. Again, really appreciate your time and your insights today, Mark. Thank you.
Always enjoy it. Always a pleasure, Jim. Anytime.
Thank you all for listening to this episode of Hospice News Elevate. Hospice News is a WTWH healthcare publication. I hope you all take care.